WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Wednesday, August 26th, 2015, and you are now locked into Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, and we have a jam-packed show in store for you all. Later on in the hour, we'll be chatting with author John Greenberg. John will join me live on the air to talk about domestic violence issues in the world of sports. Also, participation trophies, for our youth who participate in youth sports, Tom Brady and Deflategate, as well as his countless books that he has put out throughout the course of his authorship. We'll also bring a pretty cool feature on Ray Bentley, who played pro football for 10 years, including in two Super Bowls with the Buffalo Bills. Current State's own Scott Pohl got a chance to chat with Ray. You don't want to miss that feature. We'll also bring to you discussion on the newest Hall of Fame class for Michigan State Athletics. That news was released yesterday evening. And I tell you what, for one of those inductees, this honor is long overdue. All of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of the discussion right here on the show, you know that number to call. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this August 26th. Michigan State University will induct six members into its Athletics Hall of Fame on Thursday, September 17th, as a part of the Celebrate 2015 weekend. The class of 2015 includes Charlie Bell, basketball player, Mary Kay Indrian, basketball player, Pat Mikovogovich, wrestling, Andre Risen, football, Doug Weaver, athletic director and football, and Mike York, hockey player. The Celebrate 2015 weekend includes the 6th annual Varsity Letter Jacket presentation and Hall of Fame induction ceremony on Thursday, September 17th, a banquet to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Varsity S Club on Friday, September 18th, and culminates on Saturday, September 19th, with a special recognition of the Hall of Famers during the Michigan State Air Force football game in Spartan Stadium, which kicks off at 12 noon. We'll have more discussion on the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame, its newest class, in just a sec. MSU opened its four-game trip in Italy with a 98-54 victory over Basket Florentina, the new professional team in Florence. The Spartans shot 57% from the field in the victory. Bryn Forbes led Michigan State with 18 points, and Denzel Valentine chipped in 16. Lou Rawls' Tum Tum Nieren Jr. led MSU with 8 assists, while Valentine added 7. As a team, MSU had 25 assists on 38 made field goals. Deontay Davis led the Spartans with 8 rebounds, and Marvin Clark added 7. In Popular Mechanics' September calendar, the magazine decided to throw in a bit of college football. The problem is that it might not have been the most true of statements to print. The magazine printed a photo of Michigan running back Derrick Green near the top right corner and wrote, quote, "College football season gets underway tonight with the University of Michigan in a cupcake game against Utah." Receiver Kenneth Scott had this to say on Utah's behalf. Quote, "Our team is always juiced no matter what. With that little thing they put in our locker room about us being a cupcake game, it definitely puts more intensity into the game just because of that little statement." The fires are brewing, folks. The Detroit Tigers dropped their 5th straight game Tuesday night with an 8-7 decision to the visiting LA Angels. Albert Pujols led a 4-run first inning off Alfredo Simon with a 3-run homer. Miguel Cabrera had a 3-run double for Detroit. The Tigers dropped to 59-66. The teams meet again at 7 p.m. tonight and 1 p.m. on Thursday. Just a terrible outing for the Tigers right now. Kyle Van Noy is getting a second opinion about an injury that is increasingly getting a little bit worse. And the second-year Detroit Lions linebacker could be looking at another lost season. Van Noy has not practiced since he struggled through 33 snaps in last week's exhibition loss to Washington, and Lions coach Jim Caldwell said yesterday that the team's second-round pick from 2014 will miss extended time with his injury. The Pittsburgh Steelers have signed free agent quarterback Michael Vick to a one-year deal. The team announced that yesterday. Vick met with the Steelers in Pittsburgh earlier in the day, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter and Josina Anderson, as the team was in the market for a backup to Ben Roethlisberger after Bruce Gradkowski dislocated a finger in his left hand during last week's preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. The NBA has fined the Los Angeles Clippers $250,000 after an investigation found the team had violated league rules while trying to re-sign DeAndre Jordan last month. The league said on Tuesday that the Clippers had made a presentation to the then free agent on July 2nd that improperly included a potential third-party endorsement opportunity. Indy and Formula One driver Justin Wilson, who died Sunday at the age of 37 after suffering a head injury, helped save six lives by donating his organs. His brother said that on Tuesday. Wilson was born in Sheffield, England, and raced in Formula One before winning several races in the Champ Car World Series and IndyCar Series. Wilson's death was the second loss in the racing community this summer. Julio Benici died in July after suffering brain injuries during the Japanese Grand Prix last October. Well, that wraps up your current Sports Quick Hit headliners. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, to be a part of the discussion. Without further ado, it's about that time to start the show. Welcome, welcome. You are now locked into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It's Wednesday. This week is already flying by, ladies and gents. I'm pretty excited about this weekend because, of course, starting tomorrow, is the official start to high school football. How about that, Mid-Michigan? I love covering high school football. It's one of my, just high school sports in general, is one of my favorite areas of coverage as a reporter. I'll be doing play-by-play for 92-1 the team on Thursday and Friday. Pretty excited about it. I'll also be a part of their Saturday morning high school football wrap-up show from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'll be a guest to break down what took place this week and what takes place this week in the high school football world. Certainly excited about it. And we'll have plenty of high school football chatter within the next 2 days. We'll actually be inviting Eric Doc Love of 92.1, who will be my color analyst while on the airwaves. Eric really knows the high school football scene very well, and he's great at breaking down the game, and he's an outstanding partner. I love working with Eric Doc Love. It's always a pleasure seeing him, and we have been prepping throughout the week, just trying to, knock out some interviews here and there and jot down some notes on each respective team. So, exciting week. I'm also suited and booted right now with my shirt and tie on. Because it is Wednesday, and you guys know each and every Wednesday here in the in Studio F of the WKAR TV studios, we film Current Sports TV. And tonight at 6:30, I'll be chatting with a man who certainly does not bite his tongue. He is very witty, and he has been a longtime voice in the mid-Michigan area, covering sports and chatting about sports and bringing guests to you. He's been just a great, great presence here in the area. He is actually just recently moved from the mornings. He used to be on the morning from like 6 to 9, something like that. He's moved from the mornings to now the afternoon time slot for WVFN AM 730, The Game. And he's now on at 3 to 6 now. His name, of course, is David Mad Dog DeMarco. Mad Dog and myself will chat about the upcoming Michigan State football season, the upcoming Michigan football season. We'll talk a little high school football as well as engage in a bit of discussion on the newest class to be inducted into the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame. Pretty cool stuff, right? We all of us media members kind of got this email out of nowhere last night. I had no idea they were going to make the announcement yesterday, but they did. And it's a pretty impressive class, to say the least, folks. I mean, we're talking about names like, you know, Charlie Bell, basketball player for the Michigan State team. And, you know, he was great. You know, we all know that era. He helped lead the team to a national championship along with guys like Mateen Cleaves and, you know, Morris Peterson, part of the Flintstones. You know, just a great, great team. And Charlie Bell is going to get that honor in September. Also, how about Andre Rison, Michigan State football player? And that's why we actually played that intro song for you guys. I don't know if you guys remember, but during Andre Rison's storied football career, he was a pretty good football player in the pros, folks. Of course, he was a great football player here at Michigan State, and that's the reason why he's being inducted. Away from the field, he also engaged, in a relationship with TLC. TLC's own, I should say, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, who was a member of that group. It's kind of like a hip-hop and R&B group. They are actually, I believe, and I always kind of get this mixed up between when you look at Destiny's Child and TLC, but I believe they are the highest-selling R&B group, women's group of all time. I don't quote me on that. I think we had to double-check that, Isaac, but I believe so. Destiny's Child, they may be right there with them. But I do think TLC does hold that crown. But anyway, during Andre's heyday when he was playing pro football, he actually was in a relationship with Lisa Left Eye Lopez, who sadly lost her life in just kind of a freak accident overseas when she was riding in a vehicle. The vehicle flipped over and, she passed away sadly. But they used to be together. And, you know, there was one moment that really stands out whenever you bring up Andre's name in popular culture. Is because during that relationship, there was a time where, you know, there was one night where Lisa just loses her mind. I don't know what happened, but they had a little domestic dispute. Well, not a little one, because, you know, any time it drives an individual to do something like this, it's not a little argument. It was a big argument. And Lisa decided to burn all of Andre Rison's clothes in the bathtub. But, folks, the fire got out of hand, and she ended up setting the whole place on fire. How about that? Lighting up the mansion. There's countless videos and pictures of the mansion with smoke coming out the rooftops, helicopters flying around. It was pretty insane. So a lot of people may, you know, and like I said, in popular culture, those who aren't Michigan State fans or, you know, didn't know too much about Andre's career, you may know him from that incident. But anyway, I mean, he was a fantastic player, folks. I mean, Andre Rison, he was unbelievable on the gridiron. And, you know, again, he was a four-year letterman for Coach George Perlis from 1985 to 1988. He closed out his career as Michigan State's all-time leader in receptions at 146. He had almost 3,000 receiving yards at 2,992 and 100-yard receiving games, 11 of those, folks. Unbelievable stuff. He was a two-time first-team All-Big Ten selection in 86 and 88. And, of course, he was a part of that Rose Bowl team back in the 80s. And it's so, you know, looking at, you know, Andre's career, you know, I was tuned in last night to the 11 o'clock news. I was watching WLNS TV6, and sports director over there, Fred Heumann, happened to be anchoring last night. And he brought up an interview that he happened to have with Andre during some time this summer when Andre was in town holding a camp or was a part of a camp. I'm not exactly sure, one of the two, but he was a part of a camp, and Fred, you know, got some time with him. And Andre, he played a bite from Andre talking about his career as a football player and if he had any regrets or any quarrels with the way his career has gone down. And if he and he went on to say that if there was any area of his career that he feels as though he was slighted on, he went on to say that it's got to be Hall of Fames. The reason that, you know, the fact that he's not in really any Hall of Fames. Well, I think that kind of goes out the window now because he will be a Hall of Famer very, very soon. Next month, to be exact, as a member of the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame, and deservingly so. I really do think this is long overdue for Andre, looking at the incredible numbers that he put up as a player. And, you know, he deserves to be amongst the greats because he was a fantastic player to watch on the gridiron. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know that our phone lines will stay open all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in and weigh in on anything we talk about here on the show, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it right here live on the air. Leave the profanity at home, though. Also, even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR, and I'll make sure to read your tweets live here on the air as well. I want to right now invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's current sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Al. I'm not sure. I don't believe you said this in the current sports quick hit headliners, but Ron DeRousey actually took another jab at Mayweather.
Oh, my God. That's probably why I didn't. Well, I didn't see that, but I don't even know if that's worthy of my headliners anymore. She, like, takes jabs at him every other week, doesn't she?
Yeah, these two are going back and forth, back and forth.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's like two little kids at this point, man.
Yeah, basically, Mayweather was saying, text me when you make $500 million in one night or whatever he's saying. And Rousey said, actually, I did the math, and I make 2 to 3 times more money per second than you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, alluding to the fact that Rousey fights last about a minute on average. But and then Rousey said that, and she's like, but you can text me once you learn to read and write. So,
oh,
you know,
boy.
Good old back and forth. It is getting a little bit tiresome.
And it's kind of odd because I don't think we've ever seen two athletes of different genders go at it and banter when it comes to trash talk. I don't think we've ever seen that other than like the WWE or WWF back in the day.
And
you know what I mean?
Different sports.
Yeah, in different sports. We've never seen this before. So hopefully they squash it, man, because it's not like they can settle this thing. We'll never see those two in a ring with each other, and I think society will be appalled anytime you will put a man in the same ring as a woman to begin with. And, you know, especially with the domestic violence talks that we have constantly in the world of sports, we'll never see those two fight. So I think it's kind of like pointless debate at this point at the end of the day. So if I saw it, Isaac, I probably wouldn't have included it in my headliners either, you know, to begin with, to be honest. So,
yeah. I feel that. I just thought I'd bring it up because we've been giving it a little bit of attention on this show and might as well continue with it. It is entertaining, but it is getting old, too.
Very old. What do you think about the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame? This class was released, again, last night. A pretty impressive class. Again, going down the list, you got Charlie Bell, basketball player. Mary Kay, It Nyree, she played basketball. Pat Milkovich, wrestling. Andre Rison, football. Doug Weaver. And Mike York. What do you think about that class, Isaac?
Oh, it's a strong class, I'll tell you what, because, of course, Andre Rison is a legend both in the NFL and in college football for the Spartans. But then also Charlie Bell, I think a four-year player, went on to have a very successful NBA career. I think he played most of his time, or at least when I remember him playing, was with the Milwaukee Bucks, and he was really a decent shooting guard there. So I'm crazy about this class, and I'm excited to go cover it and see some of these people in person.
Yeah, and again, they will be honored during the Michigan State and Air Force game that will take place next month. And, yeah, and, you know, talking about Charlie Bell, again, you know, when you talk about Michigan State athletics, I really believe that, you know, this is, especially in recent memory, this is the team that everyone brings up and everyone, you know, points at and says, yeah, they were pretty good. They were pretty good. Because, again, you know, Charlie Bell was a part of that 2000 national championship team with all of those glaring personalities, you know, like Mo Pete and Mateen Cleaves. And, you know, that team was just so, so good. So it was just a matter of time. Really didn't surprise me that Bell made it. And, you know, looking at, you know, his incredible career, his numbers, I mean, just really, you know, pop out at you. And you know, he had a pretty solid, you know, NBA career once he left as well. Following graduation, though, he was not selected in the 2001 NBA draft, but he did play in the NBA during the 01-02 season, splitting time between Phoenix and Dallas. After three successful seasons overseas, actually, in Italy and Spain, Bell returned to the NBA for the 2005-2006 season. He spent 5 years with Milwaukee Bucks, as you just mentioned, Isaac, from 05 to 2010, and one with the Golden State Warriors in 2010-2011. And I actually got a chance to sit down with Charlie Bell. You guys remember that episode on Current Sports TV. Such a great guy. We chatted for about 30 minutes, actually, after we got done with the taping at our TV studios. And Charlie, you know, he's such a great personality. And I remember, you know, sitting down with him and him elaborating on just how cool it was for him to go overseas and play in Italy and Spain and how it really opened his mind into different cultures of the world. And you know, how, you know, just basketball culture overseas is very strong as well. He loved it over there. He was getting paid pretty good money as well. And that's why you see guys who may not be drafted and may not want to go to the NBA D League, go overseas to try and make that dream happen at the end of the day. So Charlie Bell was a guy who definitely took that route. And if you know Spartan Hoops, you definitely know that name. Now, when it comes to the rest of this list, Isaac, I mean, Mary Kay, It Nyree, again, I really didn't get a chance to see her play. She was a women's basketball player here. Doug Weaver, athletics director, and football, I'm seeing here. And Mike York, hockey, MSU hockey, and Pat Milkovich of wrestling. I didn't get a chance. I really don't know those names. Those are the names that are you know, when it comes to, you know, popular culture, as I like to use, those names are not notable names that are going to stand out as much as a Charlie Bell or an Andre Rison, because, you know, Andre Rison and Charlie Bell, I mean, they played the two most popular sports here in America when it comes to basketball and football. And, you know, the rest of those names, looking at, you know, I got a chance to read a few of the bios scrolling through last night. Very impressive resumes. Very, very impressive resumes for all of these individuals who are being inducted. Now, I'm certainly excited to get to know them, and hopefully we'll have a few of them here on Current Sports Radio and television as the weeks pass by. Again, folks, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, the pot is already stirring when it comes to the Michigan and Utah college football season opener for both respective squads next week. If you didn't see this, pretty comical stuff. And definitely locker room board material. In Popular Mechanics September calendar, the magazine decided to throw in a bit of college football. I mean, yeah, that's a no-brainer, right? This is the start of college football season. You want to highlight a few games here and there. The problem is that it might not have been the most true of statements to print because, folks, Utah is not a team to sleep on. The magazine printed a photo of Michigan running back Derek Green near the top right corner and wrote, quote, college football season gets underway tonight with the University of Michigan in a cupcake game against Utah. It has stirred up a lot of chatter. Utah, they are certainly using it as motivation throughout their locker room, throughout preseason football training camp. And, you know, now, you know, this gives them, if they didn't have any incentive to begin with, this gives them even more incentive to go out there and, you know, put a show on and show that Michigan, you know, show to Michigan and Michigan fans that they aren't a team to be looked at lightly. Kenneth Scott had to say, quote, our team is always juiced no matter what. With that little thing they put in our locker room about us being a cupcake game, it definitely puts more intensity into the game just because of that little statement. Isaac, what's your reaction to that?
Al, I think I'm surprised that a mechanic magazine would print something like that, because you think of mechanics, they're working on cars. I worked in a bike shop. I was a bike mechanic. And when you're a mechanic, you're just doing this tedious work on different parts of machinery. So you're going to be talking sports. You need to know what's going on in sports. And if you think Michigan's going to finish above 8-4 this year or 9-3, because I think those are extremely optimistic. At least the 9-3 one. 8-4 is definitely a possibility. But Utah finished in the top 25 in all major polls last year. They were excellent, had their best season in a few years. And if you remember before that season, they had some big wins. They had some big upsets in years past. And Michigan didn't even make a bowl game last season. They had a terrible recruiting class coming in. And they're supposed to beat Utah. First off, I don't think Michigan will even beat Utah, but to suggest that it's a cupcake game, if Michigan wins over by more than 14 points, I will do something. You recommend it, I'll do it on the air. But
I hear you, Isaac. Well, first off, I want to make this known and clear, because I feel like there's an overall perception that cupcake game is coming directly out of the Michigan wheelhouse. Again, this is a statement made by a magazine, folks. It's not like Jim Harbaugh said this. It's not like Shane Morris or Jake Ruddock said this, okay? They probably didn't even know this was going to be printed. They had no idea that Popular Mechanics was randomly going to put out a calendar and put on their calendar for the college football year that Michigan is going to be playing Utah and that it's going to be looked at as a cupcake game. This didn't come out of Ann Arbor. So
no,
I want to clear that up. For sure. The editors of the magazine are making this statement. This is just like the media. You know, it's like the media making a statement. Like, you know, if we were going here and say that, oh, yeah, this is going to be a cupcake game for Michigan and for Michigan against Utah. It's one thing if we say it. It's an entirely different thing if, of course, somebody out in Ann Arbor says this, or a player for the U of M football team says this, or Jim Harbaugh, one of his members of the coaching staff says this.
We would never say this because we know sports.
Yeah, we know exactly. And at the end of the day, the players, though, as an athlete, you want to use anything as motivation if you didn't have any motivation to begin with. They already, you know, just like Kenneth said, I mean, they already are going to get up for this game because you are playing the maize in blue. You are playing a team that has Jim Harbaugh, and he's been getting so much attention even before he's even coached a college football game for the team just yet. So there's much to get up for already, even though the game has yet to be played. They are using this, though, as bulletin material, because that's what you do as an athlete. That's what you do as a team, folks. Maybe the editors didn't realize Michigan has a first-year coach, a first-year quarterback. The Wolverines are coming off, what, a 5-7 season last year, and that the Wolverines lost at home last year to the Utes. You remember that score, 26-10, folks. Yeah, or that is not, you know, back in the day. This isn't the 90s, okay? Utah is pretty good. You can't sleep on this team. I mean, just heard from Isaac, he's picking Utah to win that game. So I think the editors really didn't know sports. They didn't know how good this Utah team is. And them using cupcake is coming from Popular Mechanics, not the maize in blue. But the players are going to take it personal. The players are certainly going to take it personal. They're already taking it personal. You heard the quote that Kenneth Scott had to say. There's other quotes from other members of the team as well weighing in on this. This is just bulletin material for them to get up for this game.
Out, but I just want to defend the mechanics of the United States, because I know they're smarter than this. This does not represent the mechanics, because as a mechanic, you do talk sports. You should know sports. Anyway, though, on a more serious note, this is nothing that is Michigan's fault, like you said. Michigan, they're trying to do is win some football. But this is bulletin board material,
it
and
is.
This will fire Utah up. I'm excited to see the game.
It reminds me of Michael Jordan. When Michael Jordan was trying to, you know, find that next level in his game, I mean, when he won 3 straight and he left baseball, the reason why he left to go play baseball, I should say, is because he didn't feel as though basketball offered him any more challenges. He decided to come back because, first off, he wasn't a great baseball player, but he believed that he could find other challenges within the game, and frankly, he missed the game. And Michael, you know, there's countless stories about him, you know, picking out a small little quote or something a media member had to say and using that to motivate him. This is what athletes do, folks. So I really don't think this is a big deal. All right, let's hit our first break. Again, folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll be inviting our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is John Greenberg. He's an author amongst a plethora of other things. His resume is quite impressive. You do not want to miss that chat and so much more. You are tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. John Greenberg has had numerous accomplishments in his career with numerous titles to his credit. He is a spokesperson and writer of nonfiction about larger-than-life people. He started writing because of his interest in the sport of football. He has spent a number of years doing historical research on football in the archives of Northwestern University, the University of the Notre Dame, University of California at Berkeley, the University of Chicago, and the University of the Pacific. He has served as historian for the All-American Football Foundation, has written several articles for the College Football Historical Society newsletters. John has had the honor of speaking several times at the College Football Hall of Fame and at football reunions for South Bend, Indiana's Washington High School. It's my pleasure to welcome author John Greenberg to Current Sports. John, how you doing?
Oh, just great, Al. And it's always a great thrill to talk to somebody from up in the Midwest. I'm based in the Tampa Bay area now in Florida, but my heart is always going to be in the Midwest.
Oh, you got to love that. I'm sure that weather is 20 times better than what we're experiencing right now, John.
Look, it's either hot or hotter down here.
Right, right. I love that, though. I love that. It's paradise,
well,
right?
I know. I like hot weather myself, but, you know, there's nothing like the history and the tradition of sports, especially in the Midwest. It all started on the East Coast, of course, and then they used to call the Midwest the West.
Right.
They used to call the Big Ten the Western Conference.
Right,
but,
that's true.
You know, I'm dating myself by throwing all these things out. So, but anyway, you know, we were, I think we were going to be talking about the participation trophies. Is
yeah,
that the top?
Right.
Yeah. This has really created a firestorm. It's amazing to me that people have. There's been columnists who have been writing this and using the angle that this is a sign of the decline of our civilization, the decline of the work ethic, all of these different things. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, and I'm sure you remember as a kid, that they used to give you a ribbon mm-hmm. or a certificate if you participated in a league, in a youth sports league. But,
right.
You know, I think this whole story about James Harris, and he's a good man. He's got so much to offer. You have to really look at it because they didn't give ribbons as participation trophies. I understand it came from the Charlie Batch Best of the Batch Foundation. Charlie Batch, Great Eastern Michigan quarterback, played with the Lions and the Steelers. They were kind of good sized trophies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it was bigger than a ribbon or a certificate. I think in now we got kids down here in Florida. They've got youth soccer leagues. They're saying 18 months to 8 years old. Send them to
wow.
our league.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, if you're talking about kids that are under the age of 10, I think that there's, it's a good thing to have participation ribbons or a piece of paper or maybe a small trophy. I don't see any harm with that. But if it gets into the point where the trophies are fairly good sized, there might. But I think the kids also, I think they're not the stupid. They know what the reality is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear these statistics that the amount of participation of kids, the statistics are that it's been declining. I don't know that for a fact. I see a lot of youth activities around where I'm at. But if that's the case and you're trying to get them away from the Xboxes and get them out and get them to participate in something, it's a good idea. If the kid goes into a league and is there for the whole schedule and takes part, then he gets proof that he took part in it.
And so, and you know, John, this is something that I was really enlightened to first when I watched that HBO documentary on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. That's when the story really, started to gain a lot of traction. When they went out to a few youth organizations here and there, a few soccer teams that ranged in, from ages from six or seven all the way up until 18 or 19 years old, right?
Right.
And he goes out there and they're doing this documentary and talking to parents and kids. And, what the part that amazed me about the story is that, again, kids who are, 16 or 17 years old, they highlighted a soccer team. And one of the kids, or a few of the kids, I should say, they were listed on the roster, but, missed pretty much all of the season. But, I don't know what they didn't get into why they missed all of the season or most of the season.
Right.
But even with them just being on the roster, they received a trophy. I do agree with you, John, because I think that at the end of the day, I don't see anything wrong with the kid, who's 5, 6, 7 years old, who participate in youth sports. I don't see anything wrong with giving them a participation trophy because it encourages them to play the game, to love the game, to get out there and just to get active. But at the same time, there has to be an age cutoff because I do think it's sending the wrong message.
Absolutely, and they should participate all the way. They should compete in the entire season. But now, I think another facet, big difference with years and years ago, was that kids would go out and play by themselves. They would form their own little teams. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they got to be 12 or 13 years old or maybe 9 would be pushing it because, like little league teams, I think you had to be 10 or 11 to get on a little league,
mm-hmm.
or 12 years old. But now there's so much organized structure in sports for youth, and then you get into what they call the traveling teams, where it's become really intense, high competition. Youth sports, and youth sports is almost becoming a factory. But on the other hand, you've got some kids that might have a physical disability. They might be picked on, and they're just not ready to go. If they are on a team and they go all the way, I think they should be given some sort of acknowledgement that they went out and they tried their best and they participated. So, you give them something like a ribbon or a certificate, but a fairly big trophy.
Right.
And also the point you brought up that they really didn't participate.
Right.
Well,
you know,
you've got to be that. We've got the harsh reality of everyday life. You get a paycheck just because you show up at work and do nothing.
Right.
You have to produce. There's accountability.
Right, exactly.
But I think that, I don't know, the parents, I think what they're going to have to realize is that the real value of competing in a sport is the camaraderie, the friendship, the teamwork, cooperation, character building, and being involved in an extracurricular activity. that's the biggest payoff.
Yeah, and, it is.
You know, but as far as Harrison, I think he sent a message, and the response that people have gotten nationwide, he created a firestorm with this whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's good. I think people should be talking about it, and I think there should be a lot of close attention paid to youth sports, because I mentioned the soccer program where they're taking them as young as 18 months. I don't know if that's really a great idea.
Yeah, that may be definitely too young, if you ask me. Yeah, that's
2 years old, 3 years old,
yeah.
4 years old. Where do you begin?
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, you want them to get involved in something, but you also want them to be kids. Give them a chance to be kids, because when they get to be middle school and high school, life is going to become very, very competitive, not just in sports, but,
right.
but in everything.
That's right. That's life. And at a certain age, when they become teenagers, they got to start realizing that very concept. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with author John Greenberg. Now, John, you know, I was just browsing around yesterday around, you know, on your website and looking at your incredible resume and the books that you have written. And there's one book in particular that actually is it's a new release. And it's on sale now that I really chuckled when I saw it. And that's Stop and Think, She Could Send You to Prison. Can you talk about what this book is about? Because the title itself just makes me want to just put my there right now.
Right. This is the true story of a man named Justin Smith who played college football.
Mm-hmm.
He had a shot at arena football out in Los Angeles. He played at a couple of small colleges, one in South Dakota and one in California. And it's a story of bad choices and how it can decimate you, okay? And the idea of the hookup culture, you know, the idea that, they got the Ashley Madison scandal and they got all this other stuff, but there is no such thing as casual sex. And this is what happened. This guy had a casual relationship with a woman, and no woman wants to be number two. If she says she wants to be number two, she's really looking to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
And hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, because she got upset with him. She called the police and said that he was trying to kill her. And then when he tried to drive away, she hit him in the head with a baseball bat, and he was woozy. He got into the car, which was her car. She hopped in the passenger seat. They were driving along. She opened the door, jumped out. And then she said that he pushed her out.
Wow.
And he wound up being charged with attempted murder. The bond was horrendous, over $1 million. He had to served 7 months. He was 7 months in the Los Angeles County Jail, lost his business, lost everything, and he was found not guilty. But, you know, the horrible price he paid.
Exactly.
So that's the
7 months.
Is stop
wow.
and think, you know, because in today's world, the woman will be believed before the man will when it comes to domestic violence or any of that stuff.
And looking at, you know, Justin's story, John, you know, he said he spent 7 months in the L.A. County Jail.
Right.
How did he win that case and get found not guilty? What evidence came out?
Well, I mean,
what
there's a lot of, look, you know, I don't want to just divulge the whole book.
Right.
People should read it. But
right.
the point is, there were a lot of twists and turns. And their whole relationship, that's a tale unto itself, because he found a way to commit academic fraud. And it was a big, far-reaching thing. And she wound up getting transcripts from him. But the point was that he had a wonderful, unbelievable attorney, a public defender who did performed a miracle. And... it, you know, he's grateful every day just to be out. He's rebuilding his life, but he had something very good going, and he lost it strictly because of this idea that you can have these casual relationships. That's a myth. That's a myth. People, they can't. There is no such thing as the hookup culture. You're exposing yourself. If you invite the wrong people into your life, you're going to pay for it dearly. Just look at Greg Hardy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, look at all these other people. You know,
Tiger Woods. Yeah. That's the big one that stands out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a high profile one.
Right.
But you know, but it's amazing. Justin's story didn't make the papers, but he wanted to get that story out, and that's why I worked with him to do that book.
That is a fantastic, fantastic account of what took place. Unfortunately,
it's available on Amazon. People can get it at Amazon, and I've got lots of other books there. I've got one I co-authored with Laura Brown. It's a romantic thriller called "And Love Was Born, Death Followed." We also worked on a true story of a tremendous boxing trainer named Jimmy Williams. He's in the Florida Boxing Hall of Fame. He's a very proud black man who came from what he called behind the cotton curtain at the age of 13, went up to New York, became a dancer, a musician, a fashion model, and a great boxing trainer. And then we've got Scoundrels in Paradise. That's also available on Amazon, as are the ones I mentioned. And that's been getting some buzz. There's interest in doing a movie about that. That's about a young man, Scott Adlai Stevenson, who at a very young age, he made some bad decisions, got mixed up with his family's drug smuggling operation. And his story is a wild ride, too.
Oh, boy. And I think all these pieces of work that you have done, John, can be also seen and viewed and even purchased, I think, on your website, johngreenberg.com, right?
Well, Amazon is the best shot for those books at this point.
Gotcha.
But,
all right.
Well, anyway, we
got to have you on in the future, John, because there are so many different things I want to talk about, as well as other pieces of work that you mentioned, throughout your authorship. But it's been fantastic having you on again, folks. Author John Greenberg. John, you will be on very soon, my friend, and thanks for your time today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Al.
All right. You take care, my friend. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, folks, we'll put a bow on this edition of WKAR's Current Sports by bringing you a feature from Current State's own Scott Pohl on Ray Bentley, pro football player for 10 years. Don't miss that. Don't miss that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Bentley played football for 10 years, including in two Super Bowls with the Buffalo Bills. The Hudsonville High School graduate played his college football at Central Michigan. For 13 seasons now, he's been in the booth for ESPN and ABC coverage of college football games. Along with football, his other passion is writing. WKAR's Scott Pohl has talked with Ray Bentley about his first novel. He'll be in Lansing to discuss Driftwood this week. It's his first work of fiction for grown-ups, but Ray Bentley has published seven children's books over the years. Driftwood is about an old football player who's still trying to win a championship. And speaking of championships, Ray Bentley says he thinks Michigan State will hoist the national title trophy at the end of this upcoming year.
Ray Bentley, welcome to Current State.
Glad to be here, Scott. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us about your book, Driftwood. What's the basis of your first novel for adults, Driftwood? What's going on here?
You know, it's a football story set in Buffalo, where I played, and it's about an old, grizzled-up linebacker, 18-year veteran, his last chance at glory to win the Mega Bowl for Buffalo. They haven't been to the playoffs in, like, 20 years, and it's just kind of a bad situation, but they get a new coach. The owner's real old. He brings his daughter in to take over for him after he's gone, and then it gets interesting and fun because the hero, Driftwood, and the general manager of the team kind of both vie for her affections, and so you got some good stuff going on off the field, and then you follow the Blizzard all the way to the Mega Bowl.
This sounds like there are lots of parallels with your real career, maybe, to some extent, and professional football in Buffalo to some extent.
Well, they say you write about what you know, and having gone through all that, that's kind of where I landed with it. But there is, it's fiction. Let me make sure everyone understands that. But it does draw on a lot of my experiences, obviously, and I think people will recognize some of that stuff when they read the book.
I think Buffalo Blizzard is a perfect name for a pro sports team in Buffalo.
Yeah, I've been through a few of those. I can agree.
Why take the approach of writing a novel as opposed to maybe some sort of a memoir about your football days?
You know, that's probably down the road a little bit, but I'm not entirely comfortable with that at this point necessarily. And my dream, kind of growing up, I had a parallel path going where I wanted to be a writer and I wanted to play football. And I accomplished the football part of it and hadn't done much with the writing. And so, you know, in that dream, it was writing novels, you know. And so that's what I went after first here. I might do a memoir down the road. We'll see what happens.
Did you study writing in some fashion when you went to Central Michigan?
Yeah, I was an English major, I majored in eligibility my first couple years, not sure what I wanted to do, and looked at all the classes I'd taken, and most of them were English, and that, you know, was obviously where my interest was lying, and so I, you know, followed up and took a lot of classes there, and then I published and written 7 different children's books over the years as well, but those weren't quite as fulfilling as what a 448-page novel is.
We're talking with Ray Bentley, the college football TV analyst who has published his first novel. It's called Driftwood. Ray, I wanted to ask you also about your previous writing publications, children's books. You have 7 children's books on the market.
Yeah, and that kind of grew out of my family life. My wife and I have 5 children, and they're all grown up now, obviously, but at one point they were all under the age of 10, so we had a houseful. And it was real important to us to develop in them a love for books and reading. I think it's one of the keys to success in life is your ability to handle the written word and appreciate it. And so, you know, I would read children's books to them nightly, and I would get frustrated and disgusted with the quality of some of them. And after complaining long enough, my wife said, well, why don't you write your own then? And kind of a light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, yeah, why don't I? And that's what got it started. I came up with Darby the Dinosaur as my original character, did 3 books with him, and then came up with Bubba Gator and the Gator Family and did 3 books there. And I also did another book for Rogers Department Store, which has gone out of business now in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
You have 3 sons. Are they football players?
They were. My son Jake just finished up. He played 4 years at Central, following in Dad's footsteps. And then his final year, he had another year of eligibility, played at Ferris. My son TJ was real good in high school and played for a year up at Northwood and then decided it wasn't for him. And then my son Rich played till he was like a sophomore and hurt his back, and so he focused on basketball and was quite a good basketball player.
Well, as much as we've learned about what happens later in life to lots of football players, it might leave you with something of a good feeling to know that your sons haven't continued to play. How do you feel about that?
I just want them to be happy and do what they want to do. If they want to play football, then, you know, they understand the risks. They've seen me, you know, and what I've gone through over the years. So, you know, I didn't really try to steer them either way. But they wanted to do it because that's what Dad did, and you get that a lot. And so I support them 100% regardless of what it is they want to do.
Ray Bentley is the author of Driftwood, a new novel about football. He has a pro football history of his own, having played 10 years of pro football. And he'll be signing copies of Driftwood on Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Schuler Bookstore in the Eastwood Town Center. I want to ask you a couple of general questions about the upcoming college football season.
Sure.
What kind of schedule do you know about at this point? Which sorts of games will you be covering yourself this year?
That's That's a good question. I wish I had an answer. I know my week one assignment will be Texas State at Florida State, September 5th, 8 p.m. on ESPN News. But the way they usually hand out the assignments, they call it a six-day pick, which means I find out on Sunday where I'm going that following Saturday. So it doesn't really give me a lot of heads-up time, but it's kind of fun and exciting. It's like opening up a new present every Sunday.
What do you make of Big Ten football this season? Everybody is expecting Ohio State to be really good again, having come off a national championship. Michigan State, we would like to think, here in East Lansing, right on their heels. What's your thoughts about the Big Ten this season?
Yeah, I think it's back to the Big Two, and you just mentioned those two. Those are two really fine football programs, football teams, and I think it's going to, you know, come down to that day when Michigan State plays Ohio State as far as who is going to be your Big Ten champion. I don't see a whole lot coming out of the other division. You know, you got Wisconsin, Nebraska. Minnesota, I think, is going to be good this year. I'm looking for them maybe to knock off TCU week one and shed a lot of tears in the Big 12. But to me, I like the Spartans all the way. I think Mark D'Antonio has done an outstanding job. And you got a senior quarterback like Connor Cook rolling there, and in the way they play defense historically, I don't think they'll miss a beat losing the coordinator Narduzzi, and I really think they're going to have it this year.
You say you like Michigan State all the way. We need to know what you mean by that. Do you mean into the playoffs after the season?
I'm not going to sell it short. I never do. I'm when I say all the way, brother, I mean all the way. In fact, I just filled out my predictions for ESPN that they're going to post, and I had Michigan State taking on Baylor in a rematch from last year's bowl game in the national title game, and the Spartans come out on top.
Well, Ray, you're going to have a lot of fans happy to see your face here on Wednesday at the Schuler Bookstore in the Eastwood Town Center.
Yeah, I know how to butter them up a little bit.
There you go. Ray Bentley's new novel is called Driftwood. As I just mentioned, he'll be signing copies at the Schuler Bookstore in the Eastwood Town Center at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Great talking with you, Ray. Good luck with the book, and enjoy the football season.
Thanks, Scott, and I really look forward to greeting and meeting all the people that come on out. Come on out and see me. We'll talk a little football and have some fun on Wednesday night.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.
Thanks so much, Scott. I tell you, when Ray Bentley comes to town, there's going to be a love fest around that brother, right? Oh, boy. All right, folks. Well, we unfortunately have to bid you all adieu on today's Current Sports. On behalf of all of us here at WKR's Current Sports, we want to offer condolences to the unfortunate news that occurred this morning concerning reporter Allison Parker and her cameraman, Adam Ward, in Virginia, as they were gunned down doing a live shot, live on the air, folks. It's news that is everywhere. You can't help but see it. If you would just go on the internet, but such sad stuff. And, even more sad for us in the media industry, knowing that, you know, she was in our forum. And, I tell you what, our world is just filled with so much hate, folks. But I tell you what, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. Hug someone you love. And be easy, people.